Veterans Affairs, this is Tuesday, April the 12th, 2005, and I welcome all of you to our committee where we feel our responsibility is this. We feel our responsibility is to secure the future of our veterans, their families, and our current military and their families because you did and you are securing ours. It's the least we can do. So being the first committee on Veterans Affairs in over 50 years, I want you to know we're working our buns off for you. And we care very much. At this time, I'd like to honor all of those who've served our military. And would you please stand? And Kevin, you raise your hand. Thank you very much for being here, and I want you to know we're very grateful for all you've done, for your courage, your valor, your sacrifice, that of your families, your dedication, and we wouldn't be here today if it were not for you and others who fought for us. We wouldn't be speaking this freely, and we know that freedom isn't and wasn't free, so we're ever mindful that we owe you so very much. And our desire is to return as much as we possibly can, which will only be a small morsel of what we can do to repay you. We can never repay you entirely for all you've done for your for us and your service. I would like to first announce today that we had a great day yesterday. We passed unanimously from the House. It's on its way to the Senate Committee and the Senate and straight to the Governor. House Bill 2680, and that is a veterans bill from this committee that we sponsored, and this gives all of those serving on deployment, those who have been deployed, it allows you 90 days after you return to pay for driver's license, any car registrations. You have 90 days after returning from the battlefront. So that's a big step. Previously, nothing existed that gave you any time, so you don't have to worry about it, and others will not have to worry about it while you're away on service. We also passed unanimously House Bill 3005, and that extends unemployment compensation effective May 1st. There are some almost 9,000 individuals whose unemployment compensation was cut off on December the 4th, and it was my honor to sponsor the bill and get to carry it, and the governor previously had a press conference and on the issue, and I wanted to say that President of the Senate, Senator Peter Courtney, came and testified for that bill. So you see, it's very nonpartisan, and it's very important. We expect them to expedite it through the Senate and to the governor. So those benefits, which are much appreciated, employers already pay in payroll taxes, can be provided to those who need it. Also at this time, and for the record, and most of you know that we're live around the world, we have, one particular constituent of mine who listens regularly to what we're doing in Japan. So you might remember that today. But I do want at this time to ask that we stand and have a moment of silence for our very special member who lost his life. He's from Lebanon, and let's stand and remember him. Thank you. At this time, I'd like to express appreciation to all of those who hosted our committee over this last weekend. We were at Camp Rylea near Astoria. I guess it's Warrenton. Say Warrenton. And thanks to getting to hitch a ride with the Oregon Guard on a training flight. We flew up in a Black Hawk, which was a great experience for those on my committee, like Representative Comp and Representative Farr, who hasn't arrived yet, who'd never flown before, and I believe even our good committee administrator. Are you any longer scared of flying?
Not at all.
The crew and the equipment seem to be especially competent.
Very competent. Just so happened I'd worked many years ago with the captain of that flight, and Mike Cataldo, and want to thank the crew for delivering us back and forth safely. Want to compliment the Oregon Guard. If you've never seen Camp Rylea, you must go. It is absolutely incredible. Spotless. I mean, I could not believe acres and acres of training ground used by almost every service for training, and I couldn't find one piece of litter. And it was mainly men. That was really... I mean, those women don't even have to clean up after them. But I really want to compliment the staff there for their excellence. Also, on to Camp Whittaker. I want to thank those individuals for hosting us. And I must say that if you've never seen the Oregon Military Museum, you will be very, very pleased at what they've done there. Wow, I just wish I could have spent hours and hours. We're just hoping they'd get some larger facilities soon because their work is just exceptional. On to the Cleaver Memorial Armory in Portland, where we had also another hearing. It was excellent. It was great to be there when our troops were in for their weekend training. However, it seemed to me they were having spaghetti smell much better than those MREs we ate.
That was very interesting, Representative.
It was very interesting. So we have some empathy. Don't we? However, mine wasn't too bad.
I actually have an extra one up in my office. I brought it from my assistant.
Oh, well, that was thoughtful.
Yes.
Maybe you could just pay her more and she could go out to lunch. Anyway, we thought we ought to experience exactly what our military is experiencing. So we had MREs while the troops had Oh, dear. Well, okay. I must tell you that we have a rule that if you use an acronym, you must contribute your own good behavior, good character, and the basket is back there by the sign that says until they all come home. And every time anyone uses an acronym, we'll just ask you to remember that if I don't remind you, like I just did, MREs, meals ready to eat. Is that right? Okay.
Meals rejected by everyone.
Well, that's, I could, well, only on the milkshake. But anyway, it was amazing to see that a piece of paper and plastic can heat itself.
Yeah,
I was just amazed. And anyway, here's my money. Thank you.
We make a portion of your
good administrator, and there's my money for saying MRE. But anyway, we appreciated every minute of it. This weekend, could you tell us where we will be?
Yes, this weekend we're going to be at the Roseburg Armory Friday afternoon, and then Saturday morning we'll be in Ashland, and Saturday afternoon we'll be in Klamath Falls. So we hope anyone listening to this come to one of those meetings. The actual times are posted on the legislative website, and we're going to be sending information. We've sent already a lot of information out to people who may be able to be out at those meetings, and we'll be sending more soon.
Okay. Any other information to share this morning before we begin? I want to thank every member of this committee. On Saturday, every member of this committee was there, and wow, made me proud. And this is a nonpartisan committee. You know, our purpose is you, and we're all in it together. So I love it. All right. Well, if there's nothing else that I need to worry about this morning, I'm going to open a public hearing on House Concurrent. That gets me a little bit. House Concurrent Resolution 9. Mr. Administrator.
Madam Chair, House Concurrent Resolution 9 recognizes June 14th of each year as Honor Our Troops Day.
I'd like to call Mr. O'Reilly Mr. Cruz and Mr. McDonald.
I meant to sign the other sheet. Mr. O'Reilly.
Oh, you're...
I meant to sign on the Afghan Iraqi brief.
Okay.
Memorial fund, but wasn't paying attention.
So okay. All right. I think it's especially nice today to recognize Mr. Cruz, and maybe we could congratulate him. Is that all right? Why not? Just got married. How about that? Congratulations.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and committee and audience.
Okay. Would you begin and please identify yourself for the record?
My name is Matt McDonald. I represent the ex-prisoners of war, disabled American veterans, veterans of foreign wars, Military Officers Association of America, and Military Order of World Wars. Madam Chair, last Thursday and last Saturday, every veterans organization that I know of in the state had either representatives or their commanders at meetings to discuss these bills that you're hearing this morning. And what I say is what they wish.
Thank you.
On House Concurrent Resolution Number 9, we know there are two other bills similar to this, and the date is the 1st of May. We feel that this bill should not go forward because June 14th is Flag Day. We don't want anything to take away from Flag Day. And if it does go forward, we believe the word troops should be substituted for veterans because you have Air Force, Navy, Coast Guard, and Marines overseas. And Air Force, Navy, and Coast Guard, I don't think it's called troops.
Okay, thank you, Mr. McDonald. So was it the proposed amendment to this bill would be to change June 14th to May 1st, which is May Day?
Yes, ma'am, or have the governor issue a proclamation, because we also have, beside Flag Day, veterans also have Memorial Day, Armistice Day, 4th of July, and Armed Forces Day is the third Saturday in June. We just felt that a proclamation might be more appropriate.
Okay. But is May 1st the day that they...
May 1st is on two other bills, ma'am.
But is that what they prefer?
Well, what they prefer is they prefer either May 1st or dropping it, one of the two, because we do recognize veterans on five other occasions during the year.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any questions, Mr. McDonald? Not Mr. Cruz.
For the record, my name is Walter Cruz. I'm a Master Sergeant, United States Air Force, retired. I'm the legislative representative for the Noncommissioned Officers Association, and I'm also the spokesperson for the United Veterans Groups of Oregon. The people I represent are also opposed to this bill, KCR 9. We feel that it's inappropriate to take away any meaning from Flag Day. And I was not aware of the bills that would establish this for May the 1st, but I think it would be very appropriate, as the old Soviet Union used to have a big military celebrations on May the 1st, so why can't we?
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. Thank you, Mr. Cruz. Any questions, Mr. Cruz? If not, Mr. O'Reilly.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Kevin O'Reilly. I represent the Oregon Paralyzed Veterans of America, and we too oppose this bill. We think June 14th is an appropriate day to have an additional veterans holiday. We don't have Flag Day that day. And as far as May 1st goes, that might work, but May Day is more something for children, families, that sort of thing, and we wouldn't want to impose on that either.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Could I ask any questions of Mr. O'Reilly? Can I ask you three men to get together with all your organizations and come up with a day that we can say honor our troops day? It's very important. We've been asked by our constituents, so irregardless of any other events. We're not taking away from any others. Y'all come up with a day for us and let us know quickly so we can get this bill passed.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you very much. If there's any other public comment, I'll take it now. If not, I'll close the public hearing on House Concurrent Resolution 9. We'll open a, House Bill 3213 has been removed from our hearing today for the committee members. And we'll move on to House Bill 2878. Mr. Bolt was following the good administration.
Madam Chair, House Bill 2878 to authorize the State Parks and Recreation Commission to acquire property interests for the purpose of developing memorials in honor of war veterans.
Thank you. And Mr. Boquist, do you wish to testify on this?
Madam Chair, I'll talk to you about after the testimony. I think there's a handful of people signed up.
Okay, I'd like to call Mr. McDonald, who is, this bill was bought on behalf of Mr. McDonald.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for information, my name is Mac McDonald, representing Oregon Veterans. We request a due pass on this bill.
Thank you very much, Mr. McDonald. I'll call on Rachel Crawford and is it June Robertson? Oh, Sue Robertson and Linda Christie. If you'll come forward, please. I would like for the audience to know that this young lady, who is the legislative chief to Representative Boquist, Colonel Boquist, as we know him, herself served in Afghanistan for many, many months, and we're very proud of her. Please identify yourself for the record. Nice to see you.
Good morning, Chair Nelson and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Rachel Crawford. I'm a recently returned combat veteran as well as a legislative assistant for Representative Brian Boquist. I'm here to speak on House Bill 2878. This bill will allow the State Parks and Recreation Committee to acquire property rights and interests necessary to develop veterans and war memorials. When submitting this bill, it was to require state parks to participate in funding of construction and restoration of veteran and war memorials such as the Camp Adair historical markers and the Afghan-Iraqi Freedom War Memorial that are located on public properties. With the increase in funding that this department receives each biennium, there should be an increase with the upkeep of veteran and war memorials located on their premises. When talking to the Director of State Parks and Recreation, he stated it may be better to amend the bill for each agency or landowner that owns the specific property to help conduct construction and restoration. For example, according to State Parks, the historical markers at Camp Adair are not on State Parks and Recreation land. It's either on Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife or Oregon Department of Transportation land. I'm not really sure which, but I believe there will be testimony about that later today as well. If not, then I will get that to you. The Travel Information Council usually maintains them with no state or federal tax dollars, but they do not have the funds to do so at this time. From earlier testimony to you from the Travel Information Council in January, they would like to refurbish the signs with fiberglass embedded material, which would cost approximately $20,000. Also, for the next example, there is a bill in the Senate that would move the authority of the state capitol grounds from the Department of Administrative Services to the Department of State Parks and Recreation. If this bill passes, state parks would be responsible for helping with the funding of the Afghan-Iraqi Freedom War Memorial. If not, it would be placed under the maintenance and upkeep from the Department of Administrative Services. I believe you will get testimony on another bill today that involves this memorial and the specifics on funding for it. From my understanding, I believe it will take $200,000 to finish this memorial. A memorial that will last for a long time with proper upkeep for future generations to remember the sacrifices that were given for their freedom. I was told that trust funds are a common way that groups set for caring for a memorial that they have sponsored, so I don't know how much funding would be necessary from the departments itself, except for construction. I think that an appropriate amendment to this bill could say that agencies and or landowners that have veteran and war memorials located on their property will maintain them to appropriate conditions, either with department funds or in cooperation with local groups such as veterans organizations. Thank you for the opportunity to testify in front of your committee, and I would like to encourage you to discuss this bill further. Unless there are any questions, then this concludes my testimony for House Bill 2878.
Thank you, Rachel. Good job. Any questions of Rachel? Okay, we'll go to Linda and Sue. Welcome back.
Thank you, Chairman. Go ahead.
For the record, my name is Linda Christie, and I'm with the Coalition of Troop Support, and we're here to support.
I'm sorry, you might want to move the microphone over so you can speak so everyone can hear, please.
Okay. I'm Linda Christie. I'm with the Coalition of Troop Support, and I'm here to urge the passage of House Bills 2878, 2770. Okay. I have some testimonies that I'm reading for people who have not, were not able to attend.
Are they pro this, these?
Pro.
Pro. Would it be possible, since there are several bills today, would you submit those to our administrator's assistant, and we'll submit them into the record.
Okay. Can I read
and
mine?
It's great to know. Oh, certainly. Great to know you brought the support. I love this. Thanks for coming prepared.
Okay. Chair Nelson and committee members, my name is Linda Christie. I am a native New Yorker, and I have...
And once again, I'm going to have to ask you to speak into that, or they won't be hearing you anywhere.
My name is Linda Christie. I'm a native New Yorker. I have been an Oregonian for the past 30 years. I'm a member of the Coalition of Troop Support. I would like to urge support for the funding for the Afghan and Iraqi Memorial. I have worked closely with our troops and families for the past 2 years. I have attended many memorials in the past year and shared in the pain and loss with many of our families. That I have felt the need for this for our families who have paid the highest price you can imagine. The life of a loved one, be it a child, spouse, or dear friend, that we need a place of connection, which is so true. I have chosen to keep my remarks short. I have a son in Iraq today who is doing his duty. My duty as a mother and friend to our troops and their families is to be here today to offer my support for a memorial because there is a wound upon Oregon for the loss of so many of her citizens, that nothing can deem their honor but to put it in form for all to share, to leave an impression of their names upon our land. Many have stated it better than I, but from my heart, which has wept with the passage of each of our soldiers, please hear our plea for this memorial and see to it it is done. Thank you for your time. I'll be happy to answer any questions you may have. Linda Christie.
Thank you, Linda. And you'll be sure and tell your son how proud we are of him and how much we appreciate him, I hope. Okay. Sue.
Good morning, Madam Chair and committee members. Preserving memory. American Monumental Legacy, a touring exhibit, tells the story behind America's outdoor sculptures. The exhibit is a series of 24 panels featuring nearly 200 pieces of artwork. Outdoor sculptures and monuments tell the story of our nation's art and history that everyone can enjoy every day. They are highly visible focal points, which, when well cared for, help create a healthy, vibrant sense of community. Americans build monuments in, excuse me, in marble, bronze, granite, steel, as if to say, let our heroes, our spirit, our ideals never be forgotten. Memorials have a particular importance in America today. After Oklahoma's 1995 bombing, an impromptu memorial with notes, photographs, and flowers was incorporated into the permanent memorial at the site. In New York City, a statue of George Washington in Union Square and a memorial to a New York fallen firefighter in Riverside Park were focal points for public grieving after 9/11. It took nearly 7,000 volunteers to identify America's collection of public sculpture and monuments, reported approximately 32,000 artworks in over 50 states. The direct economic contribution, investment, salaries, and purchase of Oregon's Heritage Institution is not yet fully documented, but a recent survey of one-third of Oregon's Heritage Institution suggests that it is over $118 million annually. Involvement in the past gives people a sense of belonging, direction, and meaning. It is estimated that 23,000 Oregonians regularly volunteer their time at a heritage institution. 57% of all Americans visit a museum or historical site every year. Americans give museums and historical sites their highest level of confidence versus eyewitness, professors, teachers, books, movies, and television. As a source of information about the past, Americans rate museum and historical sites as the second most effective way after family gatherings in which Americans feel connected to the past. Approximately 40,000 properties in Oregon have been identified as historical significance. More than 180,000 of the buildings have been placed on the National Registry. There are an estimated 40,000 to 45,000 identified archaeological sites in Oregon, even though only 7% of the land has been surveyed. Several hundred community heritage organizations also have significant holdings. It is important that we consider this as one of the treasures of Oregon. I urge passage on the bill.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate your research. We're anxious if we could ask a good administrator here to get us a list of the location and names and when various memorials, monuments were constructed in our state, if you would, please, and who put them there. We'd be grateful. Thank you for that good testimony. Representative Boquist.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to point out that, you know, what this bill does is allows the State Parks and Recreation Commission to fund, for example, the $20,000 or the $200,000 in its entire spectrum. It doesn't direct the state parks to do anything. I am disappointed continuously at many bureaucrats within our present state government who tend to oppose any changes, regardless of whether it's directed or indirected. And in this particular case, I mean, we're asking that memorials in honor of veterans and war memorials just be provided the same opportunity. It's not a direction. It doesn't say they're going to do it. It simply says that given the fact that, you know, many of the projects they have that are funded by the lottery, which have increased over 50% over the last three biennials, and will increase, in fact, 21% from a tune of $58 million this biennium to $70 million next year, I think it's only fitting to allow that war memorials and these types of honorary places are allowed the opportunity to, you know, for better word, be competitive in that process.
Thank you very much. For the audience, the state parks is funded by the lottery, and if many of you didn't know, and for the first 10 years of the lottery, it took 10 years for the lottery to have sold $1 million or become a $1 million revenue center. 10 years. Now, every 2 years, did I say a million or a billion?
Billion.
I meant billion, yes. Okay. And now, it's every 2 years. So every biennium, when we come back to session, there is another $1 billion. So we feel that certainly within that share, that vastly increased share of revenue that state parks could give these monuments their utmost attention and concern and support and whatever services are necessary, because those funds are there. And I'm just going to thank State Parks and Recreation in advance for doing that. Any questions of any of the members? Representative Hunt.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I'll let you, Madam Chair, direct the question to
whoever seems most appropriate. I completely support the value of adding memorials to the list. I guess my question or concern is that one of the acquisition options is purchase agreement donation, which I assume are the vast majority of what they pursue, but also the exercise of eminent domain.
Oh, I saw that.
Which seems a little odd to me for parks or memorials or any of these type of facilities. I think it, you know, makes sense in terms of a transportation route or something else, but I don't know if it's appropriate to ask somebody on this panel or Representative Boquist or if you have somebody else on your list. But
well, it's appropriate to ask me, and I highlighted that in the bill. And, of course, everybody knows here that exercise of eminent domain is when the government takes your property without your approval and may pay you market price. I don't concur with that. That was in the old bill, and I think it would be worth an amendment for us to correct that, in my opinion.
What line is that, Madam
Chair? It is line 6.
Page 2.
Page 1.
And the other references also, Madam Chair. May I?
Representative Barnes.
Thank you. On that matter, may I suggest that it might be useful to find out how often that's actually been used? I can imagine a situation in which it would be reasonable, under very unusual circumstances, to use that kind of authority. I wonder if they use it willy-nilly or if it's only used under those very, very unusual circumstances. And I don't know the answer to that question.
I don't know, but I do know in my research that there is vast ODOT property. That's the Oregon Department of Transportation, so I had to pay another dollar. And that is available in every county that was purchased for easements and potential expansion of our roads and so forth, signage, and we could certainly access that property. And also at the same time, I want everybody to know that there's vast land in your counties that is being used for naught and already owned by the county. So as we talk about this bill, let's remember that, and wherever anyone anticipates putting a memorial, let's be sure we ask these two entities, the county and the Department of Transportation, where is this, quote, land you've already paid for with your tax dollars. And I agree with you, Representative Hunt. I'll write a note to delete that exercise of eminent domain. Is there anybody from the Parks, State Parks and Recreation here today? Well, unfortunate. I guess we'll just pass this bill right on to them.
Cool.
As soon as we amend it. I do want everyone to know I reported it previously, and this was probably prior to this letter being written, but the Travel Information Council was the one that wrote us the letter, and they are taking on Camp Adair's memorial and going to refurb it themselves, that $20,000. So we're grateful. So it leaves us a little more money for something else. And thank you for reminding us. It's their Camp Adair's historical market. All right. Is it all right, Mr. Administrator, if I go ahead and open House Bill 2739 while we have this bill open?
That's up to you, certainly.
I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2739.
Madam Chair, House Bill 2739 directs the Director of the Department of Parks and Recreation to provide nonprofit veterans organizations with funding assistance for construction and restoration of veterans' memorials on public property.
Thank you. Representative Boquist?
Madam Chair, again, I think you have testimony in front of you.
Thank you. Rachel, please identify yourself for the record.
Chair Nelson and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Rachel Crawford, and I'm a recently returned combat veteran, and I'm here to speak on House Bill 2739. This bill directs state parks and recreation to adopt rules that make state funding assistance available to nonprofit veterans organizations to construct and restore veterans and war memorials located on public property. What I wanted to see happen was the Parks and Recreation Department add nonprofit veterans organizations to their list of who is able to receive local government grants. Maybe it's the right place. Maybe a heritage grant from the same department would be better. I met with Tim Wood of the Department of State Parks and Recreation, who is against the progression of this bill. stating that veteran issues are largely of local interest and not of state interest. Oregon is one of 10 states where 15% or more...
Rachel, sorry. Could you repeat that?
I met with Tim Wood of the Department of State Parks and Recreation, who was against the progression of the bill, stating that veteran issues are largely of local interest and not of state interest.
Maybe you could read it one more time.
Madam Chair, do we need to get cardiac units?
I think so.
Go ahead, Rachel.
Okay. Oregon is one of 10 states where 15% or more of the adult civilian population are veterans, according to the U.S. Census Bureau report of 2002. Taken from the information that was given to you on March 23rd by the Oregon Department of Veteran Affairs, out of the 370,344 veterans in the state of Oregon, based on 2003 figures, over 275,000 of them have served in combat. And that's not including those that have served from Oregon since 2003 in Afghanistan and Iraq. For your records, I'm including with my written testimony other information that supports my position. I know Mr. Wood is not against the nature of the bill, as he has military background as well, but he does not want to open local government grants to nonprofit organizations. If not a local government grant, then there are several reasons why a heritage grant would be appropriate. Their own website states that the purpose of the Oregon Heritage Grant Program is to support projects conducted by nonprofit organizations, federally recognized tribal governments, and local governments in Oregon, which conserve, develop, or interpret Oregon's heritage. Heritage, as defined by the website Ask Jeeves, says that it's practices that are handed down from the past by tradition or any attribute or immaterial possession that is inherited from ancestors. Heritage means it was passed down by tradition or inherited. If we don't take care of what others have done for us in the past, then it will be gone and nobody will remember the sacrifices that were given for our freedoms. Take, for instance, the Camp Adair historical markers. Those are in honor of units activated in Oregon that were deployed during World War II. They are in disrepair, and there may now be a great cost to fix them as they have not received the care that they need. Most realize that something will last for a long time if it is taken care of properly. There are those that don't want to see a loss of revenue in their department. I myself wouldn't call it a loss in revenue, since these memorials are built in honor of those that have served, those currently serving, and those that have died serving, and their memory will be non-existent if they aren't constructed and restored as they should be. Even then, wouldn't it be better to take a loss in revenue than to lose the memory of those that served and paid the ultimate sacrifice? According to the website, the number one fact about Oregon Heritage Resources states this: 28% of Oregon's domestic overnight pleasure travelers, 4.8 million people, enjoy historic sites and attractions, making this one of the state's top tourism activities. These visitor spending, when added to day traveler spending associated with historic sites, amounts to nearly $1 billion annually. I would like to defer for a moment to Representative Brian Boquist, who knows the ins and outs of the funding situation in regards to the Oregon State Parks and Recreation Department, and then after that I will continue with the rest of my testimony.
Thank you, Rachel. Representative Boquist.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I think I referred to it earlier. Again, what we're facing here is the issue of we use lottery dollars to fund the various programs within state parks. And it increased in the 2001-03 26% up to $55 million available funds due to the recession. It only increased 5% during the present biennium to $58 million. And regardless of what this committee does, even on other legislation, in the 2005-07, the park share will rise to $70 million, which is a 21% increase. And so, you know, again, we have funding available for these projects to be consider on a competitive basis. It's not that we're saying a special assistance. And though Oregon State Parks is, of course, not here to discuss the funding issues, they have been kind enough to send us two written letters in opposition. And I think if you're looking for a cooperative basis, regardless of funding, then it comes back to the issue is would they cooperate under the existing statute? And we have two letters that say no.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Rachel, please continue.
I am more grateful of America and the freedom that I have because of my military duty. I have seen people in need of water, food, shelter, and money, and yet they're happy because they're free. Too many Americans take for granted all the freedoms that they have. Most use their freedom to complain about the things that are wrong with their country, their government, their leadership, etc. Those that serve are called for duty whether the president is Republican or Democrat, whether the war was right or wrong. These are the sons and daughters of America, and who will stand for those who have not returned home? One of my friends that I was deployed with this past year, Joe Jeffries, was killed on May 29, 2004, near Kandahar Airfield, the base where I was stationed and all my missions were conducted from. Participating as a pallbearer during his ramp ceremony was one of the hardest things I did during my time overseas in Afghanistan. Memorials that commemorate those who gave the ultimate sacrifice should be constructed and restored for fear that those soldiers be forgotten. Joe Jeffries left behind a wife and a child that will only see his father in a picture. Like many others, Jeffries is one of many Oregon service members who have given the ultimate sacrifice, and those sacrifices continue as we speak. To deny them the respect that a memorial would provide due to a lack of cooperation by state agencies is a disservice to the fallen service members and their families and to those who served with them. As elected representatives of the people of the state of Oregon, I encourage you to consider this bill so that we may honor those who have served before us and those who will continue to serve long after we are gone. Unless there are questions, that concludes my testimony.
Rachel, thank you so much for this excellent, excellent testimony and taking the time to do it. Very proud of you. Is there any questions of Rachel? I don't really want to read these letters from Tim Wood, the director of Parks and Recreation, but for all of those that are listening, I hope every individual will address a letter or email or call Tim Wood, the director. I think this is appalling. I think it's just unbelievable. This is the one paragraph I will read. He says, veterans and war memorials are most often established in communities to recognize the contributions of local members of the community. The mission of the Oregon Parks and Recreation Department is more appropriately directed to issues of statewide significance. Now, considering we just had a number of troops who came home, I attended the welcome home. You know, we have called you the legends, you know, of, you know, the century. I mean, what you've done to free these people in Iraq and Afghanistan, I mean, will last forever. I know Rachel said in her statement that most realize that something will last for a long time if it is taken care of properly. And I wrote, yeah, that's freedom. It will last for a long time too if we take care of it properly, right? This is despicable, unbelievable, and out of order, and I hope Mr. Wood rethinks the process. I'm sad that he is a veteran himself, and I'm shocked that he would feel this way, but I think it's appropriate that we heard this today so many will realize the issues that we buck here in the House in our tenure. I mean, we have some stinking thinking, and it needs to be changed. The attitude that determines the altitude to which we'll take this great state, and this is not acceptable, and I refuse to accept it. I will personally talk with him, and I hope everyone here and those listening will do so. Thank you. All right, Linda?
Madam Chair, I would ask that Linda Christie be allowed to read into the record the comments of Clinton Robertson, my son.
Identify yourself one more time.
Okay. I am Sue Robertson, the director of the Coalition of Church Support. Madam Chair, I ask that Linda Christie be allowed to read into the records the comments of Staff Sergeant Clinton E. Robertson of the 320th, recently returned from Afghanistan.
Be our privilege. Thank Linda, you. But just move that microphone over there.
All right.
This is hard for you. Okay.
We'll see. Chair Nelson and committee members, I cannot be here today as a returning Army. I cannot be here today as a returning Army reservist because I started a new job today.
All right.
However, I wish to have my remarks added to this part of the record. My name is Clinton Robertson. I'm an Oregonian by birth and choice. I was an Army reservist with a small unit out of Portland, Oregon. While deployed in Afghanistan, our unit suffered the loss of a brother-in-arms, Joseph Jeffries, was a friend of mine. His loss had an effect on the entire unit. We were scattered across the land over there, as we are here. As for a unit gathering, there was one. However, my team was unable to be there for it. That Joe was gone before his son was born has had a personal effect on me as a father as well. That Joe's son may someday feel a need to be close to his father is one of the reasons I offer you my thoughts. This memorial can be a place for his son to come someday and feel the connection to his father, for his name will be there, along with the names of the rest of our honored. That I too may someday stand at this memorial and reflect back and find some healing and peace for my friend. I have seen many of the statements in support of the memorial and have to tell you that Lorena's about the unseen wound is so very true. As a soldier of this conflict and the friend of Joe Jeffries, I ask that this memorial be established for those of us who will seek healing and connection, and for those of us who have served. We need to know you cared. Thank you for taking my statement. May all of us find a healing in this beautifully designed memorial someday. Sincerely, Staff Sergeant Clinton E. Robertson, the 320th RRU.
Thank you very much.
Again, I'll take the mic, please. Again, my name is Sue Robertson. I'm the director for the Coalition of Troop Support. Chair Nelson, you asked a question a while ago about getting some documentation on monuments, when they were built, who built them. Please let me read a passage to you. In addition to the memorials awarded for individual service, the Oregon legislature wanted to encourage more collective expressions of appreciation and honor. In this year, it authorized counties to spend county funds to erect a proper and suitable memorial arch or monument of permanent material to the memory of the soldiers and sailors of said counties who served in the late World War. Mothers of many of those who died in the war, as well as other interested parties, also collected money to pay for the memorials. County courts supervised the construction of the monuments that were placed on county property in county seats. Some of these consisted of statues of a soldier in action with names of those from the county who died in the war engraved in a bronze plaque at the base. Many of these continue to grace courthouse grounds throughout Oregon, such as the Marion County Monument and others. The year the legislature enacted this was 1919. To the parks director, who continues this a local or considers this a local issue, I would like to point out to him that there are 26.4 million veterans in this country. That in this state, this past month, we received 800 of them back. That they come from all parts of this state, every city in this state, every county of this state. It is not a local issue. It is not even an issue strictly confined to the borders of this country. this happens to be a world issue. These servicemen and women are not only serving in Afghanistan and Iraq, they are in Korea, Germany, Africa, Japan. They are all over this world. Where he would assume that this is a local issue, only garnered by local interest, is erroneous. And I, too, would encourage everybody to send a letter to him. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions of these individuals? Representing Hunt?
I just really appreciate all three of you, your passionate testimony, and I think it's shared by everybody up on this side of the dais as well. I would wonder, Madam Chair, in addition to the individual communications, if we might specifically ask Mr. Wood and maybe some commissioners from the Parks and Rec Commission to be here. Because my reading of the letter is the same as yours. I'm hoping we're all misinterpreting this, but I'm having difficulty seeing how that could be true.
Well, maybe we don't understand English.
Well, perhaps, Madam Chair, clearly we need to have some dialogue with him and provide
some strong dialogue.
Yeah. And I wonder if we might invite him to and some of his commissioners to an upcoming committee hearing.
I think that would be great, and I think it would be excellent if we would invite all of our soldiers and airmen who've served in Iraq and Afghanistan to meet with him. All right.
I'm not sure I recognize that.
Representative Kahn.
I am very much along the same line as what Representative Hunt's talking about, and as a middle school principal that, you know, 70% of our students did not speak English, and I'd have teachers say, well, we can't do this. I don't want to hear from Parks and Rec how we can't do something. I want to hear how we can.
All right. I like it. Okay, any other questions? Thank you for your comments. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'd like to call on Sonia Kingsley, Staff Sergeant Sonia Kingsley, please.
Doesn't work for the
Morning, Madam Chair and Chair Members. My name is Staff Sergeant Sonia Kingsley. I'm the unit administrator for the 320th PSYOP Company in Portland.
320th?
320th Psychological Operations Company. I guess I owe you a dollar. That's an acronym. For those of you that don't know what my position is, it's a dual status position where I'm a reserve member in the unit, but I'm also the administrator, and I speak on behalf of the commander, which I'm not doing right now, by the way. Part of my position in the unit is to facilitate things that happen in the unit. The hardest thing that I've done so far, and I'll try to maintain my composure here, is to react with soldiers' families when they're killed or injured, which is what I had to do this year when Specialist Joseph Jeffrey was killed. I can't stress the importance of how the community reaction to these things is important to my soldiers and the service that we provide. There are certain things, and I think that you experienced one of them. Food that you eat while you're a soldier is one of the biggest things that affects your morale. Unfortunately, the community reaction to the things that you do is also a large part of your morale and whether you stay in the service. If these soldiers don't get the recognition that they deserve, they will not feel that they're doing good, and they won't feel that what they're doing matters. And I can tell you, by experience myself, that I am coming from the East Coast in a small town in Pennsylvania, we are given a different level of support than we are in Oregon. And something to the effect of a memorial to these soldiers will mean a large amount to them. So I urge you to approve this bill.
Thank you so much. Any questions of Sonia? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And I want to, this time, thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Grateful. I just want everybody to know that this will happen. We, unfortunately, have to go through this, bureaucratic means of, you know, saying yes, we can. And so I don't want anybody to think anything just because one person out of 3.5 million says, well, it should be a local issue. It's not that he doesn't appreciate it. He just wants the local entity to pay for the upkeep. I hope you understand that. And just because one person says it doesn't mean diddly. And so it will happen, and we will proceed. And I have yet to talk to one individual, and believe me, I talk a lot, listen a lot too, and every person in this state is so proud of you men and women. I want you to know that. I mean, they just cannot even fathom, as I can't since I haven't served. I had a brother in the Army and one in the Navy, but I was too old when I realized that women could participate, and they wouldn't let me. I don't blame them, but I would have tried my best. But anyway, every person is supportive of you, and they're proud. I can't even imagine, and what I was going to say is most people can't even fathom what all you've done. You know, we read it in the paper, you know, these things have occurred, and because we've not been there, done that, you know, we just cannot even imagine. But having served on the civilian side with Evergreen International Aviation and supporting the last removal of participants in various jobs in Vietnam, I know what it's like flying a Japanese S-61 and, you know, being the last to leave and working with all those people. And I'm, you know, honored to get a civilian award for Desert Shield, Desert Storm, as we provided more lift than any other commercial carrier to President Bush, and to work with him and Colin Powell and travel with the president. So I, from a surrogate you know, viewpoint, you know, I can just imagine. Worked a lot in peacekeeping missions, but yet that still is not, you know, close to the danger that you've been exposed to or your risk. So we are so grateful, and everyone appreciates you, and I'm sure that's what Mr. Wood meant to say, and we'll help him say it better. All right, I'll call on Mr. McDonald, please.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Matt McDonald, representing Oregon Veterans. Coming up about the Oregon Parks and Recreation Department, we might put in there that the Director of State Parks and Recreation Director adopt rules in conjunction with an approval of the Department of Veterans Affairs, which would make sure that the rules are fair and equitable. And I want to point out that if you build something or restore something, you take pride and ownership in it, and these memorials would probably be better off if veterans did participate in restoring and making these memorials. We request a due pass with amendments.
Thank you so much, Mr. McDonald. I want to respond to you. In all of our haste to do everything we could on earth for our veterans, because we truly love you so much and are so supportive of our military, I had the unfortunate position of researching the fact we have not put in statute a Department of Veteran Affairs in the history of this state. So on Thursday, we will do so, and we'll put in statute, and then everything that we do will be legal, according to the Department of Veteran Affairs.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you so much. And it's truly my honor at this time to call upon retired Staff Sergeant Luke Wilson. Hasn't been done. We're on House Bill 2739.
Madam Chair, Luke. Members of the board, I'm Staff Sergeant retired now, Luke Wilson. I went with the Oregon National Guard to Iraq, where I lost my left leg. I spent the last year at Walter Reed, and I've seen a lot of the injured soldiers coming home. And this memorial and the upkeep and everything is very, very important to me. I mean, it's...
I want to say, Luke, you're very important to us.
When I went and visited all the memorials in D.C., the Vietnam Vets Memorial, the World War II Memorial, and the Korean War Memorial, those... I got the feeling those weren't local issues. So, I don't think they should be.
Good point. I'm getting that one down for the record.
It's a struggle for me every day to just do normal things again, you know. But the hardest part is knowing that I came home and a lot of the other tenants but I'm reminded that every morning and every night when I take my leg off, I start complaining about something. You know, like, darn legs getting in the way again. And it just reminds me of those guys. You know, it's. I hope none of you ever have to live with that feeling. Last week, I got to meet the two guys and finally thank them for saving my life. That was great. The whole year they were gone, I was glued to the TV and the internet. All on to make sure they all came home. Thank you. The Houston family, the family of James Houston, a Marine that was killed, also lives in Hermiston where I live. And they were pretty good friends of ours. I came home on leave, my very first time on leave from the hospital. I was home maybe 2 days, and then we learned of James' death. It's supposed to be a fun time at the hospital. I brought a video to show you. Can we?
Take us a little while to get set up for the video. I think everyone's going to be okay where they're sitting.
In this ballroom in Washington, D.C., Sergeant Lucas Wilson is a long way from home, receiving a token of thanks for his service.
Accept this with our appreciation for your tremendous service to your country and to the National Guard. Thanks very much.
Once the applause dies down, once he's alone to reflect on what others have given, it might surprise you to know Lucas Wilson doesn't feel like much of a hero at all.
I know someday that they're going to build a memorial for the Iraqi vets. And I'm just glad that I feel guilty for saying it, but I'm glad that my name ain't going to be on that wall.
That Luke would feel guilty about anything.
There we go.
Is incredible.
If I could, I'd go right back and lose the other leg.
April 8th.
We were driving over, I believe it was Euphrates River.
Baghdad.
possible.
The ambush started off with an IED, and then an RPG hit the second Bradley.
Within seconds, another rocket-propelled grenade would be headed straight for Luke.
The RPG came through, took off my leg, and then launched the other side of the vehicle.
The amazing thing is, the RPG didn't go off. The other amazing thing?
My leg all of a sudden was tingling.
Luke kept fighting.
He just kept firing at targets.
He fought until it was safe for two of his men to begin trying to save his life. And this is where it gets interesting.
I'm trying to keep Malero calm to give the IV because he's doing the shaking thing, you know, with the needle. One of them grabs a needle and is like, if I can get tattoos, I can do it. And the next couple minutes, we're arguing on who's going to stick the IV.
Eventually, Luke passed out.
I knew that they were going to amputate that night. And then the next morning, I woke up, I just saw a lump under the sheets, and I knew it was gone.
It took a full month before he gathered up the courage to look at his leg without bandages on it.
That month, I never looked at it. I was hoping, you know, it'd magically grow back.
Since arriving at the Walter Reed Army Medical Center in D.C., the challenges for Luke have been mental as well as physical.
There was days that I'd wake up and I just want to get out of bed. Then there were other days where I'd go to sleep and just hope I never waked up. To help me get out of that rut, I went and got Buddy here, and he's been instrumental in helping me.
Now, 11 months after he got here, Luke is in the final stages of rehab. You're about to see his first attempt at running. Luke is still fighting, even if he has to fight the guilt he feels for living.
I kind of feel like it's disrespecting the ones that gave the ultimate sacrifice. And I don't mean to. I'm just really glad that it wasn't me.
Anna Song, K2 News.
Because I want to stop.
It was a different war, a different time, and these are all names he doesn't know. Still, Sergeant Lucas Wilson, a veteran of this Iraqi war, feels a connection to those who've served before him.
I can't help but think, what if Army medicine was as good then as it is now? Some of them could be CEOs of major companies, and a lot of them could still be alive.
Luke's right. In Vietnam, one out of four troops that got hurt...
You're right. Yes. The priority medical assistance student.
...died.
Go on, Ski. You'll be okay.
Now, with improved body armor, surgeons closer by, and better medevac plans, that fatality number is down to 1 in 8.
Okay.
With a better survival rate comes new challenges for military hospitals. More soldiers are returning from the battlefield alive, but missing limbs, like Luke. Luke got hit the very first day his unit rolled into Baghdad. He hadn't even unpacked his bags when a rocket-propelled grenade went straight through his leg. He spent the last 11 months here at Walter Reed Army Medical Center in Washington, D.C. We're meeting up with him on a good day. He's doing his very last fitting with prosthetist Dennis Clark.
This is Willie Goat Jr. And this is Willie Goat 3. And you'll have to ask Luke about that. This is the first time I've seen the stickers on his prosthesis. So.
Luke actually gets three legs.
They're part of the family now.
right. You got to name them.
All right. I got no problem with that.
The first one is called a C-Leg. That's the letter C. It's made of graphite and titanium and has a microprocessor in the knee unit. The chip is programmed with Luke's height, weight, and walking style. Luke also gets a mechanical leg. This one makes him work harder and takes some getting used to.
It feels a lot better.
All of the prostheses attach to what's left of his leg over a silicone wrap, which he softens up with some powder.
And then it just rolls right on.
And covers with a sock. Then he pumps out any excess air in between to make it snug.
Like this? Brake bleeder, $20 at Shucks. High-tech equipment, I'm telling you.
The goal here is to make the prosthesis as much a part of Luke as possible.
I'm close.
In another room...
How much room you got in your dress?
Not much.
Dave Lauffer uses computer imaging to help Luke order a special insert for his shoe.
Is this bend with you? It looks like it's got a hydro.
But what Luke is really excited about today is the leg that will help him play baseball again. That's one of his hopes. His running leg. He gets to try it out for the first time.
If you do fine, we'll put you on autopilot.
You know I'm going to fall.
No, that's what I'm putting.
And then pull back.
It's hard at first. But Luke doesn't fall. Not even once.
They're young people, and they're going to be amputees for the next 70 years. When they leave here, they're going to go back to their homes or back to their posts, but they're going to go all over the United States with the highest technology prostheses you can get.
Technology and expert care, helping soldiers like Luke be strong.
I mean, you lose a leg, it's not a life ender.
To the finish.
I've learned that life goes on.
In Washington, D.C., Anna Song, K2 News.
I'm trying, sir.
Well, Luke, I just want to say you're phenomenal. Let's stand and honor him.
Thank you.
Wow, we are so proud of you.
Like you saw in the video, everyday life is a lot more difficult now.
Sure.
The running, still haven't got that mastered yet. And I know the grief that my family went through with my injury. And I don't even want to try to imagine the grief that the other families of lost loved ones have gone through. A lot of the guys from 2162 that died, I personally knew. So it's also hard on me. And I'm not saying that this memorial or upkeep or anything is going to heal my pain or anything, but I do believe it will be a good starting point. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you. Any questions? If not, I'm going to close the hearing on House Bill 2739 and 2878. Are you related to Luke? Would you stand up? We'd like to recognize you, too. And your girlfriend. Well, you'll both stand up. Okay. Just identify yourself for the record.
My name is Cindy Wilson for the record, and I just want to say how proud I am of Luke, but also I want to say how proud I am of all the families of the fallen soldiers. The first thought I had was my son's alive, and there was probably 15 times a day I would approach him back at Walter Reed and say, Luke, I need a hug just because I can still hold you in my arms. And I grieve for all those mothers that don't have that opportunity to do it.
Thank you so much. And we're proud of you and his girlfriend. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you all very much. And we'll go to I will now open a public hearing on House Bill 2795. Mr. Minister.
Yes, sir. This is the bill that does the actual appropriation for a memorial. This is a memorial to Oregon military personnel killed in the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. The measure contains a blank, which would be the general fund amount to be allocated for that memorial.
Thank you. As a state representative from District 24, I need to identify myself as a sponsor of House Bill 2795. I'd also like to declare a conflict of interest on this bill. Two years ago, there was an intent to move the Vietnam Memorial that was built by Vietnam veterans in the City of Independence. I didn't know anybody in the City of Independence, and I don't know why I did it, but upon hearing it on the radio, wherever I was in this state, I immediately drove to Independence and demanded to see the mayor and the commissioners and called the radio stations and the TV stations and wrote press releases and said, is this a disgrace? It was the only Vietnam memorial west of the Mississippi. And I could not believe to build a amphitheater or whatever was being done in that little town, which I love, would require that this memorial be torn down. And I just want to say that, for the record, that, you know, it does take a group of individuals to stand up for what's right. My philosophy is find out what's right and do what's right, and most things will turn out right. And that one did, and the memorial was saved, and not because of me, but because many people did the same thing, as I was told by the mayor there, John McArdle, later. Anyway, this House bill today appropriates money for the Afghan-Iraqi memorial, which will be placed adjacent to the Department of Veteran Affairs. Unlike the World War II memorial in Washington, D.C., this one will be constructed in a timely fashion. It will be there, and most of those who have served without sacrifice of their lives, but yet their loved ones and family, will also be able to see and treasure this memorial now. Unfortunately, a number of our World War II veterans did not get to see how much we appreciate them and how grateful we are to them, because it took so many, many, many years to get that memorial up. And I was there when it was dedicated, and I am so proud of it. It's a beautiful memorial. But I am also so proud of the individuals who have begun this project, and they certainly deserve a lot of our support to make this happen. And first, I want to thank the Director of Veterans Affairs, Jim Willis, for offering up the property so that this memorial can be situated in an appropriate place here on our campus in the state. Appropriate that it is near that the Department of Veteran Affairs. And at this time, I would like to call on Clay and M.J. Kesterson, who began this project.
morning, Madam Chair and committee. For the record, my name is Clay Kesterson. I'm the president of the Afghan-Iraqi Freedom War Memorial Fund. I'd like to read a brief statement into the record. My wife, MJ, and I lost our son in Mosul, Iraq, November 15th, 2003. Eric was a Black Hawk pilot with the 101st Air Assault Division. The profound grief that we suffer from Eric's death motivated us to form a nonprofit corporation called the Afghan-Iraqi Freedom War Memorial. The purpose is to raise funds to build this memorial to honor Oregon's fallen warriors. The proposed site is at the north end of the Capitol Mall beside the Veterans Administration building. It'll cover approximately 500 square feet. It'll consist of a large shallow fountain with a map of the world laid out in it. And there'll be a lighted waterworks along the meridians and a 6-foot marble pedestal mounted over America. A life-size bronze American soldier will be kneeling on top of the pedestal with his arms stretched out in a gesture of offering freedom to the rest of the world. The names of all the Oregon's fallen will be engraved in the base of this pedestal. As democracy, freedom, and peace begin to spread around this planet, it is the extreme sacrifices that these warriors and their families have made that must be recognized and remembered. This bill represents an opportunity for Oregon to express its gratitude. Thank you.
Thank you. Clay, any questions of MJ Clay Kesterson?
Madam Chair, I too have...
You identify yourself, please.
Oh, good morning. My name is MJ Kesterson, and I am the Vice President of the Afghan-Iraqi Freedom War Memorial. And I'd like to take an opportunity, Madam Chair, to thank every single person that's in this room today who've traveled from great distances, many of them, to be here on behalf of the memorial. From the bottom of our hearts, we appreciate each and every one of you in the room. Thank you, all of you, for coming. And with that, I'd also like to say that, unfortunately, a family, Angie and Dave Daly, were not able to make it today, and they've asked that I read this statement into record for them on behalf of their family. First, I would like to thank all of you for the opportunity to express my pride and my support of the Afghan-Iraqi Freedom War Memorial. I'm sorry that I could not be here myself. You see, I'm a military wife, a mom, a daughter, and a granddaughter. I have two sons, Keith and Kevin, who are currently serving in Iraq. My son Keith is on his second tour. My husband, Dave, served 6 years in the Air Force. My father, Dennis, served 20 years in the Coast Guard, three of which were in Vietnam. My grandfather, William, was a casualty of World War II. I tell you this to give you an insight to how much one family can be touched by such a memorial. And this is only one family. Think of the many families that can be touched and given a sense of pride and immortality for their loved ones' efforts to make our country a safer place to live. My family had to wait many years for a memorial paying tribute to my father and my grandfather. The question, why? Let us start now and show our heroes that we honor them now. Immortality is achieved by the legacy that we have left behind, the lives that we have touched, the deeds that we have accomplished. This memorial can bring the legacy of our brave soldiers to everyone, with a monument to remember those who have sacrificed unselfishly. That's the least that they and their families deserve. Some of you have lost loved ones in the war, and I offer you support, friendship, and respect. Our experiences being military families impart us on a kind of obligation to share our stories, to make people get personal about our families, to help them understand that these guys and gals are fighting for them. I take great pride in showing everyone I can photos of our sons and what they're doing for each and every American. Freedom isn't free. Any support you can give, either by donations, helping to obtain donations, or getting the word out to those who can sponsor the memorial, is a great help for a good cause. Thank you for being here and for your contributions to the Afghan-Iraqi Freedom War Memorial. Kindest regards, Angela Daly. And with that, I will hand in two photos that capture her, both her sons, who are presently on active duty in Iraq. Thank you so much for your attention today.
Thank you so much. Yes, sir.
For the record, Madam Chair, my name is Richard Gorby. I'm here as president of the Oregon State Council Vietnam Veterans, representing 12 active chapters throughout the state of Oregon. Madam Chair, Vice Chairs, members of the committee, I am here to express our favor and support for the Iraq-Afghan Movement Monument legislation before you. As I prepare my statements, I found myself looking to the past for answers and benefits that might help you in the support of this cause. Today, because of similar requests for support years ago, Vietnam veterans have a memorial where the cost of freedom is permanently etched for all to reflect and to learn from. While the grief of freedom will always be remembered by the families and the friends of those soldiers that gave it their all, it's the cost of freedom that monuments represent and that's never been taken for granted. Our state's Vietnam Veterans Monument reflects the names of over 800 young men and women whose lives were given for the freedoms we now enjoy. The Oregon State Council of Vietnam Veterans supports and encourages our citizen legislature to stand behind the efforts for an Iraq-Afghan War Memorial here in Salem for our sons, our daughters, and all future generations to visit, reflect, and to learn from. And just maybe, as future politicians make decisions that affect the lives of our young men and women in our state, they too will stop, look, and ponder the consequences of those decisions. This new monument can serve us all well, so let's get it built.
Thank you so much, Mr. Gorby. We appreciate your service. We appreciate your being here. Are there any questions of the questions or Mr. Gorby? Representative Boquist.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was just wondering if you could give us a quick update on the fundraising to date, so on and so forth like that, and just how much we should go down and argue with Ways and Means.
Again, my name is Clay Kesterson. We have, as of this last weekend, a little over $43,000 in cash. We've got approximately $110,000 in in-kind donations promised, that being material and labor to do the construction. We're estimating about $190,000 short at the moment. So,
thank you, Mr. Kesterson. Committee, I might give you my thoughts on this issue. My recommendation is that we fill in the blank to $100,000, and that we challenge the 90 state senators and representatives to earn $1,000 apiece that would cover the remaining 90. Okay, any other questions? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
I'll call on Melissa Andrews, Rosary Contreras, and John Newman to come forward, please. Hey, Ms. Andrews.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Melissa Andrews, and I'm here in support of the Afghan-Iraqi War Memorial. First of all, I'd like to thank you for allowing me to speak today. My brother was Corporal James Lee Moore, who perished in Iraq in a helicopter crash, along with 30 other servicemen on January 26, 2005. I'm here today as a sister of the fallen hero, as a citizen of Oregon, and as a proud American, and I'm asking that you support the mission of erecting a memorial here in Salem to honor all of Oregon's fallen heroes of the Afghanistan and Iraq wars. My brother joined the Marine Corps in the aftermath of September 11th. In a journal we received after his death, James talked of why he went into the Marine Corps. I'd like to read a direct quote from that journal. It was written 11/05/04, 2 days before the invasion on Fallujah, which he was part of. I joined the Corps knowing one day I might be in the situation I'm in right now. I signed up in the PULI program not long after 9/11. I wanted to make a difference. I wanted to do my part as an American, also to make sure that future generations wouldn't see what I saw happen to the U.S. on that day of 9/11. I'm a person that feels I need to change things and help out when bad things happen. I know I've put my family and friends through a lot since I've joined the Corps. I'm sorry for that, but I wouldn't have been a happy person if I would have just sat back and watched this go by. My brother wanted to make a difference and felt defending America with his fellow Marines was the best way to do that. My brother didn't have a wife, and he was killed before he had the opportunity to have children, but he does have a very close family and two nieces that he loved very much. My brother, as well as all the servicemen and women who fought and lost their lives in these wars, deserve a place on the Capitol grounds that recognizes and honors them, and their families deserve that as well. They have all gave their life, making the ultimate sacrifice for their country. I understand that this state is burdened with many difficult decisions, education, health care, law enforcement, safety, and other important veterans bills are all competing for limited resources. However, I know in my heart that a monument for these heroes would have tremendous impact on all Oregonians, as well as Americans, and those from abroad who visit this great state. Educationally, children of all ages would learn about how these great men and women sacrificed their own lives for our freedom. They would be able to physically and emotionally touch those heroes and truly experience the impact that they had and still have upon us. Historically, by the state providing resources for this memorial, the lives of these fallen sons and daughters would be commemorated forever in Oregon's past, thus proving to future generations Oregon's commitment and respect to our armed forces and the freedom that we all cherish because of them. Nothing will ever bring back my brother. However, this monument will certainly add comfort to James's family, as well as the other families, with the knowledge that the state recognized that it too has lost sons and daughters, and that it too wishes to respect their sacrifices to the greatest degree possible. I urge you to find it in the budget to give money to this noble cause, to recognize those who gave their lives so that we and the Iraqi people would have freedom. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Melissa, and we're so proud of your brother and feel the loss with you. Okay. And is it Rosemary or Rosemary?
Actually, I think Rosemary left. This is my mother.
Oh, this
she
is
just
your
is
mother.
Here for support.
Well, what a wonderful mother. And I see that picture. Is that your son?
Yes. Yeah. And this is James.
Thank you for being here. I appreciate you being a favor. Okay, Mr. Newman.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. My name is John Newman. I come from the Welch's area up on Mount Hood, where we have a view down below. I also represent the American Legion Post 110, Aurora, VVA, Portland Metro Chapter 392. Veterans of Foreign Wars, Post 4248, Selwood District. I'm also a member of the PVA, and I'm an officer of Vietnam Veterans of Oregon and members of the community. I don't profess to be a good speaker, so I've kept my comments brief, and hopefully it'll allow time for others to that are more capable. Again, my name is John Newman. I'm a citizen of the state of Oregon, spanning over 58 years. I've never spoken to a legislative session, so this is the first for me.
Well, you're doing great.
I'm most pleased to have the opportunity to be here now to speak on this issue. I'm only one of many here who gathered today with firsthand experience on the importance of helping establish memorials that anyone who has not served on the battleground in defense of freedom can only imagine. Outside of the Revolutionary War, battles where American freedom was paid for has been on the shores of the countries that deny it, with the exception of 9-1-1. The reason for this is the service of American veterans of the armed forces to keep the enemies of freedom at bay. Rest assured, freedom is not free. It comes with a high price, paid in blood and lives of those who defend it and preserve it. It is truly the veteran, not the politician or the protester, who pays the price for liberty that other citizens can only enjoy. I volunteered for military service before I even graduated from high school back in 1965. I was in combat at the age of 18. I spent 6 of 7 year enlistment in Vietnam. There was a time in our history after the Great World Wars and after Korea, which later became known as the Forgotten War. I volunteered to return to Vietnam rather than remain stateside where we were asked not to wear our uniform. How ironic that those who never served and many who refuse to serve protest against those that provide them the very freedom and liberty that they enjoy.
That's right.
It's largely because of memorials that we now ensure a welcome home. More than 1 million veterans have lost their lives in the armed forces. Millions more injured who have paid the high cost of freedom. There are 58,000 479 men and women that I served with that never made it back. Freedom isn't free. Those that paid the price did so with no reward. Other than knowing that freedom would be extended to others as a God-given right to exist. How fitting that the current memorial proposed carries this theme. For those that have endured the price of freedom, a memorial provides a place for healing, where patriots will always be remembered. And their sacrifice never forgotten. Without places to remember and for the next generation to learn from, the cost of failure is not one that we can afford. Ask anyone who has lost their freedom instead of those who take it for granted. Protests are supporters or opponents of these bills would have you believe that memorials glorify war. Any patriot can tell you that they honor the founders of freedom and teach it to future generations. The expense to Oregon for this memorial is zero to avail existing state property. The cost of doing nothing is what we can't afford. Thank you for listening to what I had to say, rather than just hearing what opponents would have you believe, like the Bart Stricker. Thank you.
Mr. Newman, we want to thank you so much for being here, and I want you to know that we are so grateful for your service in preserving our freedom. God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here. I will call on Ron Anderson, Lewis White, and Molly Davis. Anderson,
yes.
Will you begin, sir, please?
Thank you. Madam Chair and members of the committee, my name's Ron Anderson. I'm a resident of Wilsonville, a proud veteran member of the Coalition of Troop Support, and I personally want to thank you for holding this hearing this morning for some important messages which you've heard. 3 weeks ago, I experienced the thrill of visiting the World War II Memorial for the first time during a trip to Washington, D.C. Unfortunately, my excitement was a little bit tempered by the fact that it's 60 years in the building before the people to whom it's dedicated could see it. And as a consequence, a large majority of those people to whom it is dedicated aren't going to see it because of their death or their inability to travel because of the infirmities of old age. That memorial should have been built in the 1950s.
That's right.
Nearly two decades ago, dedicated citizens, Vietnam veterans, and members of the Associated General Contractors pooled their resources and voluntarily created Oregon's Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Washington Park in Portland. They should have had the type of monetary help proposed in House Bill 2795 and 2739. For over 8 years, a small, determined group of veterans, of which I'm a part, of the Korean War, struggled to make private funds available to build the beautiful memorial that we have in Wilsonville. Had it not been for the generosity of the city of Wilsonville, however, which donated land for the memorial, and the Hyundai Corporation and the South Korean government, we would still be scrambling for money to raise funds to build that memorial. It is, incidentally, dedicated to the memory of the 298 Oregonians who made the ultimate sacrifice during the Korean War to ensure the freedom of a foreign nation and its people. That memorial was completed and dedicated 48 long years after the cessation of hostilities in Korea. That's too long.
That's right.
And I might note that our chapter of the Korean War Veterans Association, the Oregon Trail chapter, is still the sole source of funds to restore and repair and maintain that memorial. We have no help from governmental entities whatsoever, other than the City of Wilsonville Public Works Department, which mows the grass and takes care of some routine things. But volunteer members of our chapter are still the repair party whenever those kinds of things needed. Once again, Oregonians are serving and dying in foreign lands to ensure those populations of freedom from oppression. That dedication to duty and sacrifice should be memorialized now, rather than at some unknown date in the far future. Families must know now that the pain of the loss of their loved ones can be visualized at a proper memorial while their pain is fresh. They should not have to wait for the agonizingly slow process of citizen fundraising to have that kind of healing place. For just pennies a year, all Oregonians can have a part of providing the proper remembrance provided by a fitting and lasting memorial. You've just heard from Mr. Kesterson. I consider him a friend. We already have the place and the design for a new memorial to our most recently lost service members. I urge your support of that measure. I think I hear that support, and I'm gratified by it. We want construction to proceed without any undue delay, and with your help, that can happen. Thank you for your attention to this request and for having this hearing this morning. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Mr. Anderson, and I want you to know that we're so grateful for your service.
I didn't do anything except not get caught.
Okay, Mr. White.
For the record, my name is Louis White. Madam Chair, members of the committee, thank you for allowing this to move forward. I'd especially like to offer my condolences to Mr. and Mrs. Kesterson and to all the others that have lost loved ones in the war, and especially salute the young veterans that are here today. They're doing just a tremendous job. I'm here as not only an Oregon taxpayer, but also I served for many years on the board of directors for the Vietnam Veterans of Oregon Memorial Fund. You just heard about that effort. I was also a very active fundraiser throughout the state of Oregon, and it's already been covered that that these memorials have been made many years after the fact, so I'll skip that part of it. I just want to offer that during those experiences that I had, a tremendous amount of veterans that blocked out that part of their lives. They wanted to bury that part of their past. They didn't want to confront it. A lot of that had to do with kind of the media's attitude toward our veterans. I saw families who'd lost loved ones and family members. They were torn apart. Parts of the families scattered about the country because they did not have a vehicle to deal with their losses. We spent several years raising money for this, so you get a lot of reactions from people, from pats on the back to, if you don't stop what you're doing, we're going to do some bodily harm to you. We prevailed.
Right.
Come dedication day, there were veterans that virtually denied they were ever in Vietnam or even in the military. They're sporting their colors, giving anything to show their pride. There were families that were reunited that had been alienated from each other for a decade because of not having a vehicle to deal with their loss. We have the opportunity to provide that vehicle. We have a war today that, irrespective of what any of you see or hear in the media, there's widespread support throughout this country for the war and their veterans. I'm more than just a veteran. I'm a father and a grandfather. My oldest son served during Desert Storm, the Persian Gulf War. My youngest son is currently career Air Force and has served his second tour so far in Qatar. My granddaughter was in Army basic training the day the terrorists attacked our country. My feelings on this Veterans Memorial and the timeliness of it has already been covered, so I won't go there. I just ask for your support in this so that it can indeed be genuinely an Oregon Veterans Memorial. It's sorely needed. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mr. White, and we appreciate your service and that of all your family. Thank you.
I'm the lucky one. Mine have all so far come home in one piece, and not everyone is so fortunate.
Hey, Molly.
This is actually Molly Davis. I'm Christine Van Raden. I'm the next one on the list, and we come as a partnership.
Okay.
First, I would like to say that we are in awe of the company in which we sit this morning, our nation's heroes and the families and friends who love them. Thank you for inviting us. We were invited this morning by the Kesterson family. Molly and I are authors of a book that came out years ago called Letters to Our Daughters. And this last October, we were contacted by a New York publisher that asked us to take on a project called Dear Soldier. It took us several hours to decide or agree that we were going to take this on, because what did we know about soldiers? Neither of us have sons. We have a passel of daughters. But within a few hours, we agreed, and we started immediately contacting schools across the nation. Within 3 days, we had confirmation from over 30 states. There was not one of literally hundreds of phone calls that we made that wasn't greeted with total receptivity, total nonpartisan attitude, and a sense of appreciation and thankfulness on the part of each administrator, each teacher, each parent that said, thank you for giving us something we could do. Within several weeks, we received over 2,500 letters, at which point the publisher called and said, we've changed our minds, no thank you. So with boxes and boxes and boxes of letters, we recalled an organization that we had learned about months earlier called the Forgotten Soldier Outreach out of Florida. And they were started during Desert Storm when several families learned how many young soldiers never got mail on mail call day. And so they formed a nonprofit that solicited families in the United States to adopt these soldiers, send them letters, cards, packages. So we contacted them and said, we have thousands of letters, do you want them? And they said, absolutely. We have thousands of packages we're sending out at Christmas. They all need letters. Send us whatever you have. In the process of dealing with Dear Soldier, I met the Kestersons, who have changed my life forever. We have been able to help MJ and Clay with a fundraising project by donating letters from these amazing kids all over the country to be made into cards, to be sold, proceeds to go to this memorial fund. What Molly and I came to see after working on this for months was that this generation of children, unlike any other, have been exposed to war. They see it on a daily basis. They don't know what to do with it. And that's what we heard from administrators, parents, and teachers, is these kids need a place to process. They don't know what to do. And so this was a very, very small thing that allowed 3,000 kids to extend compassion, express their emotion. What we have come to understand is that not only as adults, but as community leaders, as parents, we need to provide a place for this generation of children to be able to connect and express and understand. So we are here to support with all of our might this project. Molly brought, we brought a few letters, and we've isolated a few very important quotes from small children that we'd like you to hear.
So again, my name is Molly Davis, and I'm here as a mom. And as a mom, what I'd like to say to every one of you in this room, sons and daughters and parents, thank you. This is from Claire, age 9. Freedom, I know, isn't free because of all the people out there now risking all of the joy in their lives to let people they don't even know have freedom. Thanks for making it safe for kids to go to school. I promise to be an excellent student so I can become a useful person to the earth, so that I can pay you back for risking your life for me. This is from Hong, age 11. And I'd like to end it with Anthony, age 8. He says, I'm sending you this big hug for all the love you show our country and to say thank you. I will be thinking of you. And this is his hug. And we'd like for this memorial to be our way of extending that love and that thanks forever. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, and we're grateful for your being here. I'll call on Jack Fiddler. Did I ever get, is it Mr. or Mrs. Contreras? Or have I already included her? Him?
Rosalie had to leave to take her grandson back.
Okay. Sorry about that. Thank you. So Mr. Fiddler, Paula Brown, and J.J. Brown, and I'm going to just alert everyone, and I hate this more than anything, but we do have a house session coming up, and you're welcome to stay for it. Come in and sit in the gallery and see how business is conducted. We don't have a choice. We are required to be present, so we want to do our very best to finish this up by 10 until 11, and not because we're trying to rush it. I hate that, but I don't want you to have to come back another time. Yes, and Mr. Administrator, would it be possible that we would carry over House Joint Resolution 47 and House Bill 3325 that pertain to a constitutional amendment to increase the eligibility for all of these new soldiers to the veterans' home loan.
And you're directing that we carry this over till Thursday.
To Thursday, yes,
yes,
sir.
We can do that.
Okay, thank you. All right, Mr. Fiddler.
Good morning. Pleasure to be here. I'm Jack Fiddler, a long-term member of the great state of Oregon, Vietnam veteran, and staff sergeant with the A Company, 1st Battalion, State Defense Force. When we Vietnam veterans returned from Vietnam, we did not have anything to go to. And I think statistics will prove me that there's been more Vietnam veterans commit suicide than actually died in the war there. Reason being could be because we had no place to return to. The rejection for us was rather high. This memorial will not only give some conclusion to the families, but those who have served, so that they can come and leave their tokens, not only their physical tokens, but their personal memory tokens. I thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Paula Brown. I'm the Deputy Director of the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs, and I'm pleased to be here today to testify on House Bill 2795. I won't read my testimony, but we'll try to hit the high points because I certainly want to allow these young people to have an opportunity to testify before the committee. Oregon has suffered the loss of several of its own in the global war on terrorism. Either the director or I have attended those memorial services, and I can tell you they are very, very painful, and I'm sure the pain that we feel in attending doesn't begin to touch the pain felt by the families. Unfortunately, just last week, another Oregonian lost his life in Iraq, and we'll be facing another memorial, and we'll have another face among the ones already on the displays that MJ and Clay Kesterson have provided. The memorial certainly has the support, widespread and long-reaching support of the veteran community, veterans organizations, and I've listed several of those in my written testimony. As was previously indicated, the location proposed for the memorial is on the grounds of the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs. And I can tell you that the department, the director, myself, and all the employees will feel very honored to have that memorial take its place among other memorials currently located on those grounds. The construction of the Afghan-Iraqi Freedom War Memorial is appropriate and will symbolize Oregon's support for its men and women serving to protect the freedoms we all enjoy. The memorial will pay tribute to the men and women who have made the ultimate sacrifice for freedom here at home and for their successful efforts to spread that freedom around the world. It would also serve to honor the families of those who have lost their lives. We have a responsibility to pass along to generations that follow the knowledge of the sacrifices made to secure their freedom. This memorial will help us do that. Thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you very much. Mr. Brown.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is J.J. Brown. I'm a junior at Cascade High School in Turner. I'm here to testify in support of House Bill 2795. I come from a family with a long line of veterans. My father and mother are both veterans, and my grandfathers and my great-grandfathers were also veterans. My dad retired from the United States Army and served in Desert Storm. When he was gone, I remember asking my mom where my dad was, and I remember her telling me that he was away doing his job. I remember how happy we were when he came home. My parents have always taught me about the importance of veterans and the sacrifices they've made. I have attended many veteran events, including the dedication of the Veterans Medal of Honor Memorial here at the state capitol. At that dedication, I met Arthur Jackson and Bob Maxwell, two Medal of Honor recipients. Later, I read about their heroic actions that resulted in their award of the Medal of Honor. My mom told me about Eric Kesterson, who was killed in Iraq when his Black Hawk helicopter crashed. She told me about MJ and Clay Kesterson, Eric's parents, and how they and others were going to build a memorial for the Oregon fallen soldiers who were killed in Afghanistan and Iraq, a memorial that would honor all those who served and their families. I've always performed community service from the time I was very young. When I heard about this memorial, I wanted to help. I felt the least I could do was give a few hours of my life to raise funds for a memorial which can't compare to what veterans have done to secure and protect freedoms enjoyed by past generations and all of us, and will be enjoyed by future generations. I spent evenings and weekends going door to door, telling people about the memorial and collecting donations. By the grace of God, my dad came home to us from Desert Storm. Otherwise, I could be working to raise funds for a memorial to honor his service. This memorial will be a place that families can go and know that Oregonians appreciate the service and sacrifices of its veterans. It will be a place where parents can take their children and teach them about the cost of freedom. Freedom isn't free. It never has been and never will be. For the record, I thank all veterans and their families for their service and sacrifice. I thank those who are currently serving in harm's way and their families. It's not easy to have your dad or mom leave to serve in a war. I can't imagine how it would or how much it would hurt if they did not come home. Today, you have the opportunity to help with an effort to honor veterans and their families. I hope you will send House Bill 2795 to the floor of the House with a due pass recommendation. Thank you for the opportunity to testify in support of House Bill 2795. My thanks to the Kestersons for allowing me to be involved with this memorial effort.
Mr. Brown, I just want to say you're awesome.
Thanks.
Who is this beautiful young lady beside you?
This is my girlfriend.
And what is her name?
Shyla Lule.
Hey, Shyla.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Shyla Lule, and I'm a senior at Cascade High School in Turner, and I am here to testify in support of the House Bill 2795. JJ had told me about the Afghan-Iraqi Freedom War Memorial and what he was planning on doing for the Kestersons and raising money to make this memorial happen. And I was excited about it, and I wanted to help out. And Paula had told us a lot about it, and she would test us in the car, okay, you guys know this, and we'd go out and go door to door, and they would ask us questions, and we would have the answers for them, and we had a little diagram even to show what it would look like when the memorial was put together and explain to them, you know, this is what it's going to look like, and your donation will help this, you know, come true. And we would tell them that it was for the fallen soldiers, for the families of the fallen soldiers, and they were really excited about it. And I think this memorial will give the families a place to remember their loved ones. For some, it will be a place to tell their children about their families or their father or mother that they will never know. It will be a reminder to visit, to all who visit, that freedom isn't free, that Oregonians appreciate the service and sacrifices of the military service members, veterans, and other families. Future generations of Oregonians will never forget how Oregonians before them gave their lives to protect our freedom. Like JJ, I want to thank the Kestersons for allowing me to be part of this. I also want to thank our military service members who are serving now, veterans who have served before them, and families of the service members. Their service and sacrifices are appreciated. Madam Chair and members of the committee, I urge you to take this opportunity to show the committee support by passing House Bill 2795. Thank you for allowing me to testify in support of House Bill 2795, which will help the efforts to build an Afghan-Iraqi Freedom War Memorial.
Shiloh, that was excellent. And when I grow up, I want to be just like you. Thank you, as young people, for taking the time to care. And you're going to be blessed your entire lives because you recognize how precious this freedom is. I'm very proud of you. And Mr. Fiddler and Paul, I want both of you to know we're grateful for your service for our country. Thank you for being here. I want to call on Mr. McMichael, Mark Luca, Dave Watt, and Brendan Reese.
Yeah, Madam Chairman and Committee, my name is Bill McMichael. I heard a lot of comments about being local, and I think Oregon is local. This is an Oregon project as far as building an Iraqi memorial. I'd like to talk a little bit about me and then about what I do. I'm the project manager for the Iraqi memorial. My family date back. I'm a fifth generation Oregonian. They date back to 1838, where some of you yellow Oregon history know that's before the Oregon Trail. And so I've been around here for a while. Served in Vietnam in the Marine Corps, 65 and 66. Also served 2 years in the Oregon National Guard. I've heard testimony up here about how a lot of the veterans, Vietnam veterans, were received when they came home. And I felt a little bit of uneasiness about this, and probably why I went ahead and joined the Oregon National Guard. But serving as project manager for the Iraqi Memorial has been a real pleasure, and I not only after it's built, I plan on being around and trying to make sure that it receives the proper maintenance for some time. And my background is mechanical, and that's why I've been involved in the design and the building of the project. Right now I'm building a three-story hospital at Newburgh. And
that happens.
Yeah, and so I do a lot of mechanical stuff, and that's why I've been asked by the Kestersons. But I also would like to mention the fact that I met Eric Keisterson and his father and family while in the mission of another veteran adventure. We worked together to build the very first, it's a replica, the very first American Fighting Squadron. And this was 14 airplanes, and Eric Keisterson was building one of those. And at the time the 9/11 happened, he went into the service. And so we continued building his aircraft while he was off serving our country. And so this was a great adventure for us, considering it was tried three times and failed. And to do this is the only replica squadron in the world. So as far as testimonial fortitude, the Marine Corps group, the Kessersons, prevailed considerably. And it's my pleasure to know them. And this is also my pleasure to be a part of this Iraqi memorial. So that's what I have today. And thank you very much. Listening to the testimony of people here today, I did my heart really well. Like I said, I've born in Oregon and been here all along. And to me, I think Oregonians, we're all local anyway. So it's been a real pleasure for me to be here. Thank you.
Mr. McMichaels, I know you're awful busy, but we really need that hospital. But we also need these drawings here. We are applying for grants, as I understand, from the Kestersons. And I just want to thank you for taking the time, regardless of how busy you are, to make this a top priority in your life. And I think it's wonderful that you've done this, the design, and you know all this stuff that I can't even begin to understand, electrical and all this stuff. And I just think it's awesome that you have done this. And I appreciate it, and tell us what kind of character you have. And I thank you also for your service.
And you too. I appreciate the board and the committee here. It's a real pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. David. Oh, Brandon? Do I have Brandon here?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Madam Chair and committee, for the record, my name is Brandon Reese. We're here in support of the Coalition of Troop Support and Returning Veteran. We own a local business that's all owned and operated primarily by veterans, and it's been a real pleasure to come back and have the support of the community and Veterans Affairs and the different groups and organizations that represent them to help us get our project off the ground. So we know firsthand experience that there's a lot of people within state, federal government, and local organizations that are working very hard to represent their, I guess, giving and thankfulness to veterans that have served. And I think it's, as a business owner, there's one thing that we see all the time. There's a lot of money that has to be reinvested back into the organization. You're always doing that. Every time you make a little more, you put it back into the company to make it bigger. One of the most important things we have is employees. It's something that we cherish, and it's something that we're very, very thankful for, because they build what you are and what you do. I think that even if you are as shallow as it could be and not moved by the emotional experiences and trauma that's brought on by war and the veterans and the families that support them, maybe we could look at it from a financial perspective and a return on investment. I think that dollar bills significantly, or especially when you're talking about numbers as incremental as $200,000 in a state or federal government, it's small. It's a small investment to make in those who sacrifice. It's a small investment to make into the United States military to make sure that we encourage younger individuals and new individuals to get involved with the United States military, to include the state National Guard. If we do not take the time and spend the money and resources to reinvest in those individuals and in those organizations, you will have something that falls away and is not available to defend the freedom of this state and of the federal government later on down the road. I think it's important that we say thanks. I think it's important that we give people an emotional place to lay their burdens, and I think it's important that we reinvest a small dollar amount back into our soldiers to make sure they're there tomorrow. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Reed. Okay, next is Dave Watts.
Thank you, Madam Chairman and committee members. My name is David Watts. I'm a Vietnam vet. I'm also a member of the American Legion here in Salem and VFW Post 661. But I'm here on behalf of the Air Force Sergeant Association, Chapter 1460 at Salem. We're also a member of the United Veterans Group of Oregon. We're here to offer support for House Bill 2795. We are going to keep it brief, but we request the funding for those memorials in honor of our soldiers that served in Iraq and in Afghanistan. We feel they're unsung heroes and that we need to stand behind them. And I ask for your support. Thank you.
Thank you so much, and thank you for your service. And we appreciate your organization.
Thank you.
Okay, Mark.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Mark Luca of Dallas, Oregon, and I'm here at the invitation of the Kestersons, who are friends and heroes of mine that I've met in the last year. This committee has done much, and this legislative assembly is trying to do much for those who gave much in the cause of freedom and safety from those who mean to destroy our way of life. But what of those who gave all in that struggle? What can we do for them? If they were here, what would they ask of us? Would the word not be a faint whisper rising from the ground? Would not that word be remember? That's all they would ask. When you send a child to school, to piano lessons, to college, to be married, remember. When you travel freely from one place to another, when the lights go on at the flip of a switch, when the hot and cold water runs, when you campaign freely for public office or speak your mind to a free press, remember. There's little a state can do, actually, to express its gratitude, as gratitude is dependent on the free flow from the hearts of a grateful people. And there's little a state can do to promote remembrance, save for the erection of monuments such as this, built to inspire us to do one thing, and that is to remember. As I said earlier, this committee and others in this assembly have proffered ideas to honor the living. These are good and noble ideas, and I'm certain our veterans will be grateful for the gesture. But if we ask those returning veterans, though, what would they ask us for? What would they ask us to do for them? My suspicion is they would think back to those who did not return from the field and ask us to do one thing expressed in that one word, remember. I say this having met a number of war heroes, and we've heard from some of them today. And in my experience, war heroes are hard to spot because, as I've found, the real heroes don't wear their heroism on their sleeve. Their humble and their quiet dedication is part of what makes them heroic. And to the man, each of them, to the man, has asked not that we recall their exploits, but they think and speak first of those who left behind, who were left behind or returned draped forever in the stars and stripes. To the man, they have asked one thing of me, and they've asked one thing of the groups I've heard them speak to, and they have all asked one thing, and that is that we remember. To the fallen, to their families, and to those who are still in harm's way, and those who have returned, we owe it to them to remember. While we rightly want to, and sometimes do offer them more, all they've ever asked of us was that we remember. It's right and proper for agents of government to do so by offering a humble monument. And I therefore ask your passage of this bill to the floor with a unanimous due pass recommendation, and respectfully ask that each of you will do whatever you can to urge its survival through the grueling Ways and Means process. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Chad. Yes, could we get a written copy of that, please?
Yes, I hand scrawled it early this morning, but I will type it up and I will type it up and send it to each of your offices. Thank you.
Just awesome. Thank you all for being here, and thank you so much for caring. Appreciate you. We have two individuals left. I'm not sure that based on your previous testimony, if you feel it's necessary to testify again, Linda or Sue, I think you certainly served us well and this point well today. Okay. And Luke, would you like to give us a final word today? You're our final speaker.
Madam Chair, members of the board, Staff Sergeant Luke Wilson again. When I was back in Washington, D.C., I saw that the Pentagon had done some stats up. And just talking about two of the 162 now, the Oregon National Guard guys that went to Iraq, the stats that the Pentagon made up, the Oregon National Guard soldier at two of the 162 was three times more likely to die than any other Guard soldier in Iraq, and twice as likely to die as any active duty soldier in Iraq. And we lost nine while we were over there out of almost 800 men. So I think they did a really good job. And I brought a book today that Paul Wolfowitz signed and gave to me about the Iraqi elections. And it's got pictures of women holding their fingers up with the dye on their fingers. And pictures of just thousands of people going to the polls that they've never been able to do before. And it's because of these soldiers that gave that sacrifice. We have 41 Oregon National Guard soldiers that have been, Oregon soldiers that have been killed. 41. Out of 1,500 that have died over there so far, if you average that out, that's 21 per state. Oregon has more than doubled that, almost. So let's be one of the first states to get this memorial up and going for these guys. I can't speak for two of the 162, but I talked to the majority of the guys during the ceremony last week, and I know that probably 90, 95, maybe 100% of them support this and want this up fast. And I believe in it so much that I'm willing to give them my compensation pay to make up that extra money they need to get it built. That's how much I believe in it. Thank you.
Luca, you won't have to do that. But we want to thank you. And I just thought after what all has been said, I think we should do a card for all the parades in the state. Besides, you know, with the picture of the memorial and our fallen heroes, but we should do a big print, you know, thumb print, and underneath it write, "Remember." Question mark, and then an envelope for them to send their contributions back for this. Now see what you inspired, you young men and women. Thank you so much for being here today. I hope we see you all on June the 14th when we break ground on the Afghan-Iraqi Memorial. God bless you. We're adjourned.